the followers exhibited. The Lord, He left some followers behind. And let me tell you something. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, let me give you something real deep and real profound. If you're going to follow Christ, then He's got to be in the front. And you've got to be behind. And He's got to be bigger and you got to be smaller. And so certainly here these followers exhibited of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice some things that these followers experience. I wonder what you're experiencing in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus. I want to say, first of all, you'll find that these followers, they were found by an unexpected providence. They were found by an unexpected providence. Look in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 18. I hear a lot of people say, well, I found the Lord. No, you didn't. The Lord wasn't lost. You was lost. The Lord found you. And I can tell you this, it's hard for a feller to look for Him when he's dead and trespasses and sin. I'm glad the Lord come a-looking for me. And as Brother Lee testified this morning, I don't know why He did, I'm just glad He did. And so certainly you may be sitting here with your halo turned up thinking, you're going to do good and work your way to heaven. But let me tell you, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And if you could work your way into heaven, then you could work your way out of heaven. And can I tell you, the only thing that's ever going to satisfy a holy God is the blood of His darling Son. You can work your fingers to the bone, neighbor. You can give all your money away. But unless you're washed in the blood, God said, when I see the blood, and He said, when I see Him on the lintel of the doorpost, honey, when we couldn't see it, I'm glad He can see it. And it's not our good works that's going to get us to heaven. We hear a lot of folks in Hollywood saying that a lot of roads lead to heaven. That's a lie out of hell this month. There's one road to heaven, and that's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I put this in for you. Muslims are not our brothers and sisters this morning. If you bypass Christ, hell will be your... You'll lift your eyes in hell if you bypass the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to say followers exhibited. They were found by an unexpected providence. Look what they were doing. Matthew 4:18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. They was having a good time. They was minding their own business, too. They're casting a net in the sea because they was fisher. Now, you know why they was fishing? Because they was fishermen. You know why a dog barks? Because he's a dog. The bark don't make the dog a dog. The dog barks because he's a dog. And so, honey, we as a Christian ought to do things that a Christian does today. They were fishermen. They were only doing what they know to do. I would be careful not to point my finger at people live next door to you acting crazy. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be acting crazier than they was this month. Can I tell you, lost people act like lost people. And we ought to pray for them and love them and get them to the Lord Jesus and get them under the sound of the gospel of the old, old story. They were fishing because they were fishermen. People act wicked because they're wicked. And Jesus comes along and He saith unto them, I'm glad He took the initiative. They didn't say, hey, who are you? No, He said, hey, I like what He said. He said, follow Me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He said, that y'all doing, you think that it's fulfilling. Said, you get up and line up behind Me, I'll really give you something to shout about. I want to say the fashion of it, they were minding their business. I won't say the faith of it. They could have stayed where they was. But they made the best move that they'd ever moved in verse 20, and straightway, I like that, they left their nets. Wouldn't that be a blessing if you'd leave what's got you all tangled up this morning and follow Christ? Do you remember the day when you was all tangled up in your net that you was caught up in? You was messing with, you was doing every day, and Jesus come by and said, hey, follow me. And I love this straightway. They followed Him. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. If does it not make logical sense that they were founded by an unexpected providence? I remember the day when God run His hand in my life in Panama City Beach, Florida. I was minding my own business. I mean, I had hair down below my collar. I was cool. I mean, cool was cool. God run His hand in my life by that woman that I've been married to for 31 years. Put me in a little old hick town, Bowden, Georgia, just holding Georgia and Alabama together. That's about all it's doing. And I know they're writing in the paper, Bowden, Georgia is really some place to be. Well, let me tell you, it's a good place to be if God's there. And honey, God moved in His life over yonder in that pine thicket, and this old boy's hired. He showed me Calvary. He showed me about the blood of Jesus. And He showed me my wickedness. And He showed me how bad I really was. And I'll never forget that morning that He said, hey, boy, if you'll follow me, I'll let you do something like you've never done before. My Lord, and straightway. Ain't that amazing? I walked in that church of doing this, and I walked out of doing this. Can I tell you that's what salvation is, honey? I'm not talking about sanctification today. I'm not telling you that you are this morning, that it happened overnight. But salvation is a done deal process. What God does forever. And He changes our church going in us when He comes in on us. I thank God for it this morning. One day He cried from the banks that I was on, follow me. I want to say these followers exhibited, they were found by an unexpected providence. Number two, you'll notice it, they were fed by unlimited provisions. A lot of people are wondering about, boy, this bad economy. Can I tell you something, that the world is not running heaven? Can I tell you, God's not broke? I don't want to be like the boys on TV and tell you, if you'll come down to Liberty Baptist Church and pay your tithes, that everything will go good. But I can tell you this, it'll go better. I'm not telling you that times won't get hard, because we all know that times are hard. And by the way, though, it ain't near as bad as some folks think. If we was in a depression, some of these possums would be picked up off the side of the road. Somebody say amen right there. It ain't near as hard as some folks think it really is. We do what we want to do most of the time. They were fed by unlimited provisions. Matthew 14 and 15, these disciples had our mindset. The Bible said that it was evening. His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place. I've been in some of them Baptist churches. Somebody say amen right there. This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Brother Randy, sound like to me they're more interested in themselves than they was somebody else. Just send them away. We ain't got no place to put them. I remember before we added on, people in here sitting on top of each other, sitting in the choir. Boy, I'm glad we had folks to give up and give somebody else's a seat. You say, well, I ain't giving my seat away. That's your number one problem right there. You think that's your seat. And guess what? I'm not even going to tell you to take it back home with you today because you ain't getting it. Amen. We need the pew. We need the air around here. We need the space. And let me tell you, it don't take you long to look around, friend. Preaching and old-time religion still works down in Bowden, Georgia. Boy, they're a lot like themselves. They're very self-centered. I find myself to be very self-centered. A lot of times I ask my wife, I say, honey, where you want to go eat? And I'm turning in where I want to eat. You can go and shake that new head this morning. You know I'm telling you right. So they said, Lord, it's all about us. We ain't worried about them. Can I tell you, that's the problem of Baptists this morning. We're more worried about us than them. Where are we going to sit? Well, if God let sinners sit down, I'll sit on the piano stand. I'll sit on the steps. Wouldn't that be a blessing if an old sinner come got your spot, son, and got saved by the grace of God? He said, now, Lord, said it sure is about us. Let them go to the villages and buy themselves victory. There's a problem with that. The Lord didn't want them to go nowhere else. They had exactly what the whole crowd needed where they was at. And let me tell you what they needed. They didn't need Captain D's. They didn't need Chick-fil-A. They didn't need Burger King. They didn't need Domino's, even though they do deliver. They needed the Lord Jesus to get in on what they was doing. Can I tell you things to pick up at your house when you go to realizing He's all that you need? The Bible says this, but Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give you them, deed. He said, y'all got what they need, and you trying to send them off. Well, I wish every church could see that. He said, y'all have got exactly what they need. Why are you trying to run people off? I wonder why old Baptist is looking down at sinners this morning. Wonder why people looking down at somebody that ain't got a nice something to drive or something nice to wear. You know, I just won't go on record. I've not always been able to dress as nice as I'm dressed this morning. But I can tell you this, I was proud with what my mom and daddy give me. And young people, let me tell you something. You don't have to have Ralph Lauren on your shirt to be in style. And you don't have to have Michael Jordan on your tennis shoes to jump higher. All you need is a mom and daddy that'll love you and bring you the house of God and pray over you and provide for you. And you ought to thank God that you got that kind of upbringing this morning at where you live. I had young'uns made fun of me of what a boy. Ain't young'uns cruel. Young people, don't be cruel, children. When people don't have what you got and when they can't dress like you, the last thing you ought to do is be pointing a finger or laughing at them. You ought to be saying a little silent prayer, God, thank you for blessing my mom and daddy. God, thank you for letting me brought up in a place where I'm took good care of I am. Let me tell you, people is cruel in the schoolhouse. You young people from Liberty Baptist Church, you ought to be trying to lift people to Christ and be a friend to young people. Young people, let me tell you, honey, drugs and the booze and the sex, it's a dead-end road. And I know Hollywood paints it. And you can look at all you little Justin Bieber boys with his little funny haircut. But honey, let me tell you, when they die and go to hell, hey, it ain't cool in hell. And his little straight-legged jeans. You boys ought to get you a pair of Levi's, put you some holes down there in the bottom of them where they go on your boots. And you ought to put your hats on and wear your bill straight in front of you. And if you want to be a real boy, take and bend it a little bit, put a crease in it, get you a pocket knife, and cut the end off the thing, and let it ravel out on the end. Somebody going to say amen right there this morning. Turn around with your hat sideways and your pants on the ground. Look like something crazy. Amen. They've got exactly what they needed, but they didn't want them to be there and get it. Oh, Lord, that's speaking to me. I ain't never seen that till now. Isn't that just like the average Baptist? Send them away. Jesus don't want nobody sent away. Jesus, watch this, folks. You're not going to like this. Jesus is a friend of sinners. I'm not talking about acting the way they act. I'm not talking about going where they go. I'm just talking about being a Christian, letting your light shine in this world and not thinking that you want a tree limb above somebody. Without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. I've not forgot where I come from. I mean, I've not forgot. Kids, be careful not to laugh at other kids because they hadn't got what you got. I mean, I'm glad I pastor a well-to-do Baptist church. That's amazing. I mean, I got rednecks. Rednecks and rednecks. Thank God I got them. I tell you about rednecks, they love their preacher. Somebody reminded me of that this week. But I can tell you one thing. Jesus said, you ain't got to send them down the road. You've got just what they need if you'll get me in on it. But if you don't get me in on it, they all going to leave just how they come. I've never understood this about church. Church would be boring to me if you didn't have church. My ADD just kicks in. I know I'm a preacher needs to be on Ritalin. I know I ought to have a syringe in my Bible. I mean, I just bounce everywhere. And I know that. But you know, God made me this way. That's the only way I can be. But you know, wouldn't church be so boring if we had to go to some churches the way some churches are today? I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about getting crazy. I'm talking about just having church. I'm talking about where the altar's open. You can come pray and hear the old song. Hear old time preaching. Hug one another's necks and love each other. Lord, that's so abstract and so far from the average place going on this morning. It's unbelievable. He said, don't send them away. Listen, you see an old boy walk in here and no, you probably don't want to bring him home, feed him lunch or feed her lunch. But let me tell you something. Jesus loves them. Amen. And I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care how long their hair is. I don't care how many earrings is in their head. Let me tell you something. Jesus said this. He's the friend of sinners. Did you know religion gave Jesus more pride? I never found in my Bible. Watch this now. I never found in my Bible where a drunkard bothered Jesus. I never found where a harlot bothered Jesus. But I can tell you who bothered Jesus. It's that religious pious crowd that thinks that they're owed something to go to church to serve Him. Problem with some of us, we need the props knocked out from under us to remind us where we could be. Send them away. And you know, you can get that way because they was a close-knit bunch. There's the disciples. Boy, they setting examples, ain't they? Miss Flo, I've seen that a few times. That line come out of that back fellowship hall back yonder and they come out of that on and out there by the bus, I'm saying, I don't know if there's groceries in there or not. But the Lord just keeps adding. Just keeps adding, keeps blessing. And so we see these disciples, these followers exhibited, they were found by unexpected providence, but they were fed by unlimited provisions. He said, now, this is what I want you to do, verse 18. He said, what y'all got? They said, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let me tell you something. God loves to do something big when it looks little. Can I say that again? God loves to do something big when it looks little. Now, this story would have totally changed if they'd have said, man, we've got 9 ponds full and we've got 12 grain bins running over. You know what Jesus would have done? He wouldn't have wrote this story. Because you know why? It wouldn't have been about Him, it would have been about them. He said, okay, bring them hither to me. I wonder, could you bring your littleness to Him this morning? I thought about this baby singing at the piano this morning. Maybe the reason it's so good, she's so little. Maybe some of the best preaching I've ever heard is by the most little people. He commanded them to sit down on the grass. He took the five and the two. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke it. And he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. What about that? And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. They were fed by unlimited provisions. Can I tell you, heaven's not empty this morning? Can I tell you that God's checkbook is not broke? Can I tell you, if you're on the bottom this morning, just bring what you got to Him. And you're going to find out He can do more with what you got than with what you hadn't got. Matter of fact, we might ought to be thankful of what we've got. Reckon that might have been their problem. They just wouldn't really realize what they had. Can I tell you, it's the little things in life? Can you replace fellowship with your family? Can you replace being in God's house with your brothers and sisters? Oh, I know some of y'all want to ride a zip line, ride a helicopter. But it's the little things. It's the little thing. The followers exhibited, they were found by an unexpected providence. I sure am glad God budded in my life. Has He budded in your life? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Let me ask you something. I wonder if everybody here today examined their heart. How many is genuinely born again, ready to go to heaven? They were found by an unexpected providence. They were fed by unlimited provisions. But I want to say this. They faced a lot of unsure places. Matthew 14, Brother Randy spoke of it this morning, 22. You'll see here the disciples got in a ship to go the other side before Him. And you know, the storm got up and they become fearful. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, if you fear things, you're not right with God. No, fear is our nature. I know the Bible says that love casteth out fear. Maybe my problem is sometimes my love's not right. But let me tell you something. There is some things that have come along will rock your boat. You know, as Brother Randy stated today about the man that had everything figured out. They didn't. They didn't, because the Bible says in verse 26, the disciples saw Him walking on the sea. There's trouble saying it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, it is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Now, they were faced with some unsure places. Can I tell you, in our life as a child of God, we're going to face some unsure places. Don't think it's strange if you don't know where you're headed. Don't think it's strange if you don't know where you're going to preach at next Sunday. Don't think it's strange that you don't know what your children's going to do next. There's some unsure things in life that we're going to walk through, but aren't you glad that Jesus is involved? And nothing takes Him by surprise. Matter of fact, in the fourth watch of the night, here He comes. Why, some of you think He's not even around your unsure situation. Let me tell you, He never takes His eyes off of us. How many times has the devil said, well, He's no place around? Oh, He's always there. He's in my heart. You see, these followers exhibited, you'll find out on this journey that they faced some unsure places. And then I want to say in Acts 2, you'll find out that they were filled with unusual power. I wish we could get a hold of this. Look in Luke 10, verse number 1. Luke 10, I want you to look at what they said. Luke 10 and 1. They were filled with unusual power. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them two and two before his face to every city and place whether he himself would come. And therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse or scrip or shoes, and salute no man by the way. And whatsoever house ye enter first, say peace be to this house. And then he says in verse number 8, whatsoever city ye enter, they receive ye, eat such things as set before you. Heal the sick that are in therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God's come nigh unto you. But if whatsoever city ye enter into, receive you not, go your ways out in the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves on us would do wipe off against you, notwithstanding be sure of this, that the kingdom of God's come nigh unto you. And then he says this, verse 15. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Now, verse 17, they come back. Look what they say. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Well, I thought we was Baptists. Well, we are Baptists, but what's that got to do with this unusual power? You see, we have something in us that's a lot greater than the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wish we could understand that we do have power through Christ over the devil. Let me tell you something. If you're in sin this morning, it's not because the devil made you do it. He tempted you and you gave in to the temptation. The Bible said for every child of God, with every temptation, there is a way of escape. Our problem is a lot of times God puts a door in our life and we don't want to grab it and get out of it. We want to stay there with this flesh. This flesh loves that old flesh. You say, Brother Ken, you've been saved 30 years. You have a problem with the flesh. I have more problem with my flesh today than I've ever had in my life. Amen. Old flesh is stinky flesh. You young'uns, let me tell you, young people, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Because the older you get, that old wicked mind is going to play rewind all your life. But they come back and they said, Lord, there's something that we've never experienced. Said, even the devils are in subjection to us in thy name. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, as a child of God, we're no doubt losing more battles than we're winning. We ought to trust the Lord Jesus to take a hold of our situation and let us get victory in it. Wouldn't that be a blessing? What? Now, let me ask you something. How many times have you ever done this? How many times have you ever got in here and said, God, I ain't going to do that no more. I'm sorry for that. I'm not going to do that no more. And it sounded real good and everything was good and the choir was singing. You got out of the parking lot and you got down yonder about Jonesville Curve and you just done doing it again. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. That's just how much we need him. Boy, we need the Lord. They said, you know something, there's a power in us. Let me tell you this. I did a lot of things that I'm ashamed of this morning for many years, but I sure am glad the Lord delivered me from that. Can I tell you, there's victory in Jesus. We sing this song, thank God there is victory in Jesus. There's power for every born-again child of God that will submit theirself to Jesus. There's no battle too hard for him. No addiction too hard for him. I know addictions are real. Some of you are hooked on things you wish you weren't hooked on today. Let me tell you, Jesus and Jesus alone can give you victory. And I'd be real careful to make light of somebody's addiction. Followers exhibited. They were found by an unexpected providence. They were fed by unlimited provisions. They faced unsure places. They were filled with unusual power. And they fellowshiped with uncommon practices. What are you saying? John 13 and 21. And I'll be closing shortly, but I want to share this and another thought. John 13. They were fellowshipping with uncommon practices. John 13 and 34. You ought to highlight it in your Bible. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now watch this. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love, watch now, one to another. Your love determines your discipleship. You say, I love Jesus. Well, here's a good checkup. Do you love your brother and love your sister? Do you think that in this life, people's not going to hurt your feelings? I mean, do you think that you're something special wrapped in a little blanket and nobody's going to offend you? Well, you better wake up and get you a strong cup of coffee, because that's not the real world. Jesus said, matter of fact, it's so real, you better understand how to love one another the way I've loved you. Let me ask you something. Have you ever done anything to Him that He's forgive you for? I want to say this in this early church. They fellowshipped with uncommon practices. Look in Acts 2:42. I love this. I love this right here, Acts 2:42. They fellowshipped with uncommon practices. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. We need doctrine. We practice here Baptist doctrine. Doctrine describes us. Doctrine directs us. What is doctrine, Pastor? It's the teaching that Jesus left us. Now watch. They were in fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. Fear came on every soul. Many wonder signs were done by Paul. And all that believed was together, had all things common. All things, even problems common. They sold their possessions and goods, and watch this bunch, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, there's church-going people, breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness, singleness, heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to church daily such as should be saved. Now, they had all things common. Let me say something right there, then I move on, then I'm done. I've seen the girls do something for a young lady Friday night at the service. One of the families in our church has had some disturbing news as of late. These young girls got her brother Tim and came to the altar and gathered around her and prayed for this older lady with them. Let me tell you something, a lot of times why God gives us problems and why God lets our children go in another direction so we can have all things common. If there's anything I've learned, Miss Julie, won't you come? If there's anything that I have learned in this life, I want to say this to this congregation this morning. I sure better watch these words. That all things come. If one family in the church hurt, they all hurt. They wasn't clicks and clacks sitting around. They was all together, buddy. If one was a crying, they all was a squalling with them. Let me tell you something. You may not need me right now. You may not need some of these Bible toters right now. But there'll come a morning. It'll come down where you live. And you're going to need somebody to grab a hold of you and say, it'll be all right. I'm here. And we here. They fellowshipped with uncommon practices. I remember about the pastor. I read about a couple of years ago this happened. He knew his congregation had got hard and calloused. God was blessing. Just like these disciples. It's all about us, not them. Send them away. He said he got him an overcoat and an old hat, and he got on the front door steps of the church and he covered himself up. And he got an old liquor bottle and he got it beside him. He said he had some of his members come up and some went on the other side and walked by and never said a word. He said he had some come by and sort of glanced and looked. They just went on up. He said he had one fella come by and he said, get out of here. Get out of here. What do you think you do? Get out of here. He said it got time for Sunday school and he pulled his old hat off and pulled that old coat off and he walked down the aisle of the church he pastored and he got up. And he said, I was that old drunk on your steps this morning. Had all things come and I sure would be careful put myself in a place to where I'd fall. That scares me more than life itself. We need each other. There's nothing too hard for this God that I'm preaching about this morning. They fellowshipped with uncommon practices. And I want to say they were focused on unchanging promises. Jesus said, boys, I'll never leave you. Nor forsake. He said, hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And did you know that them boys walked through this world the whole time focused on unchanging promises? I know this world's changed, but this book hadn't. And our God hadn't. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day it'd be for you to be saved. What a day it'd be if you've got a problem with an addiction to come and bring to the Lord and say, give me power in my life. I need power in my life. What a day it'd be to bring you as a family together and say, dear God, I need. What a day it'd be for young people for you to gather around an altar and thank God for how good it is at your house. While we sing, you come this morning, this altar's